Então, today is Tuesday, April the 14th, 1981. This is Connie Reen interviewing Hilmer Mangels in his home in Castorville. I'm interviewing for the Castorville Public Library Oral History Project B. Mr. Mangels, when and where were you born?
I was born in Castorville, 1907, July the 23rd.
And where were you born? In what house? Do you live in it now? No.
Where Arthur Reed lives now. It used to be...
Next to the Rainbow Theater.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
And who were your parents?
Lois Mangold and Eugenia Nagler.
And how many were in the family? How many
children? Three children. Two girls and myself.
Were you the oldest, young?
And Florence, my sister, was the oldest. And Madeline is the youngest in the family. Two girls and myself.
Uh-huh. Okay. Did your family live there then all the time?
Lived here in Castorville all the time.
I mean in that house?
In that house, and then they moved over to, it used to be called the Habey House. Miss Habey from Rio Menino owned the Wilfred Furnace grandma.
Oh.
Yep, that's mm-hmm. where, Miss Fockworthy owns it now.
Oh, that
yeah,
one.
That mm-hmm. one, yep. And from there we moved over here where Oscar Seuss lives.
Oh.
And we lived there, my daddy died in 25, and my mother died in 29, and we lived there till I got married.
Okay, when, okay, what was your father's occupation? That's what I want to know.
He was, he used to be run the saloon down there where the theater is now. And then when probation come in, he went to work for the county, and he worked for the county till he passed away.
Oh, is that how you got interested in politics?
Yeah, right.
Well, what did he work for the county? What was his job?
It's a motor, grader operator.
Oh. Uh-huh.
They didn't have no motor grader at that time. They had two pull graders behind a caterpillar. And Emmett Albedee was on one and he on one, and Arthur Holzhaus was the tractor operator.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's how they fixed the...
They maintained the roads.
The roads in this precinct.
No motor grader at that time yet. The full grader, you know.
Uh-huh.
You had to work it by hand. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, when did you get married then? What was the date of your marriage?
Mine?
Yeah.
In 35.
And you married who?
Elsie Sheely from Hondo.
And what was the date?
May the 3rd, 10th.
May the 10th.
Yeah. And we had five children, three boys and two girls.
Okay, you want to name them?
They're all living. Wiley Mangold, Rodney Mangold, Temple Mangold, and Gail, and Mary. Yeah, mm-hmm. five children.
And your wife died when?
In 1960. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, then I know you married again.
I was single
married?
6 years.
Uh-huh.
And then I married again. And I married Laura Marty. Uh-huh. And we've been married, what'll be 15 years now in October.
Uh-huh. Okay, and what was your marriage date to Laura? What was your wedding date to Laura?
October 13th.
1966, huh?
And so far we've been getting along all right.
Yeah. Well, you better after 15 years.
Yeah.
And Laura was the widow of Sebastian Marty?
Leonard Marty.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She had two sons.
Uh-huh.
And one lives here at Castorville and one lives in Storm Hill up there.
Daryl and
Wayne.
Yeah. Okay, now we've got all the family statistics out of the way. How did you get interested in running for, or what was your occupation before you got into the county politics?
I was working for the county. I started in 35.
Oh.
And then Commissioner Bribbert Rounded did 46, 45.
Yeah.
And I run for the job. And I had applications made and everything to go and work civil service in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
And the people come up here and tonight, maybe two, three come, and so on. They want me to run for commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, finally I decided on it. I could have went to civil service job and could have retired a lot sooner.
Yeah.
But then the people begged me to run for commissioner, and I said, well, okay, if you want me to run, I'm going to run. Well, one day a guy come up, he said, I believe it's six of them going to run. I said, well, I don't care. I promised these people I'm going to run, and I don't care how many going to run. If I get beat, all right. If not, then find it. Ended up nobody run.
Oh, okay. Were you ever opposed?
Yeah. One time I had one. First time I had one, Harvey Grove. And the next time I had two, Robert Green and Henry Geiger. And then it went on again, and then finally Leon Chairman run against me. He quit the JP job and he ran against me. And then I wanted to retire already for 4 years before, and then I thought, well, I'm going to stay four more years. And then in 74, December, I didn't run no more, and I retired. And then
that's when Leon ran.
Leon and Jerome Noonan run.
Yeah.
Them two, and uh-huh. Leon beat Jerome Noonan.
Uh-huh.
And he's got it now about, 74.
Yeah, 6 years.
Six, seven years.
You say Mr. Bifford was Commissioner Herman Bifford?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he routed out here on Highway 90.
Yes,
on that
I
first
still
creek.
Remember that rainy night.
Remember that, yes.
Yeah, that bloody.
And I was working for the county at that time,
uh-huh.
See? And
yeah.
Then the commissioner's court appointed his wife for the unexpired term.
Mm-hmm.
And she hired me to run it.
Oh, yeah. I see.
And I run it till her term was up.
Uh-huh.
And then I run for it. Yeah.
When you became commissioner, what was the county government? How was it run at that time?
Well, it was a lot simpler than it is now. It's not was that much to it, but still you had a lot of roads. When I first got in, I had the whole town of Castleville take care of. Whole
uh-huh.
town of La Cause, all them streets and everything.
Oh, I see.
And then,
but in other words, mainly what you did was maintain the roads. That was the early job of commissioners.
Had to maintain everything from down below La Cause about 3 miles till up Bexar County line,
Bandera County line.
Yeah.
And this is precinct what?
Precinct 2.
Precinct 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
I went all the way to the Hondo Creek Bridge.
Yeah, and the Hondo district is precinct 1.
1.
Well, was Castroville always precinct 2, even when the courthouse was in Castroville?
Yeah, I guess so, as far as I know.
Oh, I thought maybe...
I don't know. It might have been precinct 1 when the courthouse was here. I don't know, but
yeah.
That's long before my
yeah,
time.
Yeah, of course, it moved to Hondo.
See,
18.
I wasn't even born yet when they moved the courthouse
yeah.
to Hondo.
You say your dad worked for the county. Now, we know that the county courthouse moved to Hondo in 1892, and it was before anybody that's living now knew any, you know,
yeah.
can talk about it. But did you ever hear any stories about that?
Well,
can you tell me the story of how that happened?
I know quite a few stories, but the best one I ever heard, when Judge Fly Hondo, he's dead now, and he come over to courtroom one day, and I happened to be there, and Church Road, it was county church, and they were talking about this, and Judge Fly said he was a young boy, and somebody brought a wagon up there with two horses or mules and sent him up north to Hondo where a whole bunch of Mexicans was working. And they loaded them up and brought them down and voted them.
And they voted.
Yeah.
And in those
never
days...
had no poll tax, I guess. They weren't even citizens. No, they were Mexicans that were scrubbing fields or something like that.
Okay, and in those days you had to have a poll tax?
Yeah.
And in order to have a poll tax, you had to be a property owner. Is that...
Right.
Well, why did Fly tell that?
Well, he just happened to, I don't know,
mention
they were talking about stealing that. Well, the old timers all said they stole it that time, you
uh-huh.
know. They tried it several times and they didn't get it. And then,
okay, what do you mean they tried it? They
tried
what?
To move it to Hondo before.
By election. By election.
And it
okay.
didn't carry.
So did they petition? They petitioned for election.
Yeah.
And this was the third time then.
Yeah, when they got it finally. Yeah.
But then didn't, after this election was over and it showed that their side won, what did the government here in Castleville do, the county government? Well, did they impound the records?
Yeah, I guess they come over here and got all the records and everything.
Well, I thought there was a story about how they came over and got the records that they were supposed to.
By force, with guns and stuff, I heard.
Not by night?
Well, I don't know.
Somebody said it was a mock wake for a Corley or something.
Oh.
You never heard that?
No, I never heard that.
Well, I guess we'll never get the straights of that story.
But they always, old-timers here, when I was a young boy, about 10, 12 years old, I always heard them say they stole it.
Yeah.
Well, you heard that story too already, probably.
Well, do you think there was a lot of bad feeling between Hondo and Castro?
Well, I imagine it was that time. I guess it was pretty hot that time. Of course, the old generation is all dead now, and we just know what we heard from them when we was too young that time. We could have found a lot more if we'd asked questions, but I don't know.
Okay, let's, now that we've talked about your life, I want to get back and talk about some of the things you did when you were young, and even when you were older, but we're trying to establish some of the customs and traditions that were here in Castroville in the early days. Now, okay, how many years of schooling did you have?
What?
Schooling. How many years of schooling? How many years did you go to school?
School. Went to the St. Louis school here, ninth grade, through the ninth grade.
Through the ninth grade?
That's as high as they taught.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you go any more then?
No, didn't.
You didn't go over
started
to the...
Started night school one time, and then I don't know what happened there. The teacher, I don't know, got trouble or something and left.
Here in Castleville, they had a night school?
Yeah, one time.
What was the night school for?
Well,
adults or?
For anybody could go. You know, they used to have it here. It was a fella here one time. He was a druggist by the name of Homer McGee. And I don't think you knew him no more, but I knew him well, and your daddy knew him. But he had night school one time too.
Well, and what was it sponsored by the county school
system?
No,
he done it himself.
Oh,
on his own hook. You had to pay so much a week or a month.
Well, what kind of classes do y'all?
Well, anything you want to do, like history or arithmetic or algebra, anything like that. You could take anything you wanted to.
Was it more or less for people who did not have any education?
Well,
that wanted
people
to catch
up? Wanted to get more education, that wasn't too good. We had a lot of people here, elderly people, that didn't have too much education. Like arithmetic and algebra and stuff, well, they couldn't add or nothing like that, or subtract or anything like that. And some went for different thinks, and I went there a while, and he was a pretty smart man, McGee. He was Irish.
Well, were you in the same grade of school that my dad was in?
Yes, same class.
We were
seven boys.
So you were one of those seven stars.
Right. Seven boys, and it's myself, your daddy, Tommy Haynes, just three living yet.
Oh.
Leonard Marty is dead, Selwood Alberty is dead, Anthony Fitzsimon is dead, and Herbert Biediger is dead. Four.
Those were the seven boys.
Seven boys in one class.
And
we had one teacher.
And who was the teacher that called you there?
Well, Sister Marcella, we went to school, and then when we got in this last year or two, we had a sister by the name of Sister Romanus, and she just taught us seven boys. That's all.
Oh, that's all she
just
taught?
That's all she had. No more.
Okay. Well, my dad said that they created another year of school for you all, that normally they only went eight years.
Yeah, that's right. And just for the seven boys. Yeah.
There were no girls in your class?
No, not one girl in the class. All boys, seven boys. No girls.
And y'all went to school all your life together then?
Yeah,
those
right.
9 years. So you got to know
where we started. Your daddy lived, where you live now.
Uh-huh.
Where we raised, and I was living over here then when I first went to school. We walked to school, and at noon we walked home for lunch.
For lunch.
Walked back again.
Yeah. So you and my dad were good friends all your life?
Oh, yeah, all the time. All of us together.
Uh-huh.
And Clarence Oldhouse stayed up here with his grandma on the northwest part of town, and he come by, and that we went down to school. At noon we walked home.
Well, what did you boys do for fun when you were growing up?
Well, we played baseball sometimes and different things, and at vacation time, but we got up a little bigger, say about 14 years old, 15, we went with the threshing machines.
Oh.
Maybe for 5-6 weeks,
helped
thresh
harvest.
Oats. Yeah, harvest oats, and we done a lot of coon hunting at night.
What, just down here on the river?
Yeah, all the way up from here to Gabe Hanks' lake. But went up on one side and come back on the
just
other
walking,
side.
Just walking, huh?
Walking,
yeah,
sure. Did that, of course.
Uh-huh.
Leonard Breeden come over horseback, across the bridge and up to Montel's. And they had some dogs, too, and from there on we went hunting.
Well, was Ralph Montel your age?
Ralph was a little older than I was.
And he went to
Montel.
The public school, huh?
Yeah, we always run around together, went to dangers together and everything. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did y'all swim a lot in the river?
Oh, yeah. Swim like a fish.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever see
that was before bathing suits come here. There was nobody on the river. No, we just pulled our clothes off and went
y'all
swimming.
Just live, what, 2 blocks from the river here, huh?
Yeah. In the swimming place down here. Miss Alberdeer, they live down there where Cass Jonas live now, next where? To Alice Hanks.
Yes,
Alberdeer.
Sure.
And Miss Alberdeer come up with her girls and her son. She had 3 of the family. And down here where Richard Chott lives, called it the Hoffman Crossing. That used to be a crossing years ago when it went out on the Rio Medina Road.
Uh-huh.
And there's where we went swimming a lot.
Uh-huh.
Real beautiful place. Gravel just as clean. And everybody.
Yeah.
Melanie Heaster, that was your daddy's aunt. Mm-hmm. She come down here, and I remember yet when she, the old people done that, she brought an egg along to wash her hair with.
Oh, really?
You heard that already, haven't you?
Yes, yes.
That's what she did every time she come down. And then Miss Youngman with Clara Mank now, and she come down and all went swimming, every day almost.
Really?
Summertime.
In the summertime.
Oh, yeah.
Carrie said that when she was young, the river was just as clear you could see to the bottom.
Gravel was just as clean as you could see. Uh-huh. You could see the bottom
mud.
4 feet deep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you ever see any of those little alligators?
The who?
Little alligators that were in the river.
Well, I never seen alligators around here. No.
You didn't?
No. Now, what they call the gar fish, that's some call them the alligator gar, but that's a fish.
Uh-huh.
They were in the river here then, but no alligators that time.
Well, did y'all do fishing? Did you
fish
a lot?
Oh, yeah, we fished a lot. My daddy liked to fish. Every Saturday evening, he went up river and put out some lines. Sunday morning, he run them early.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes he caught a lot of fish. Sometimes he didn't get so many, but the old people all fished all the time.
Okay, so you lived at home till you got married, and you got married when you were about, what,
28 years old.
28?
Yeah.
Weren't too young.
No.
Well, what I was wondering is that before your mother and dad died, what did you all do at home, like in the evening when the work was done?
Well,
did they do anything?
We'd go and play cards somewhere, you know, sometimes at night. The people come over. Miss Rosa Biediger lived where the rest home is now, and she had one son. She had, Lawrence, Nora, Marguerite, and Agnes, 4 daughters she had at home. Alice was married already, Fritz Green's wife.
Yeah.
And we'd go over there at night and play parts.
What kind of cards were played in those days?
Pitch? High five. Pitch and high five.
How about dominoes?
Sometimes we played dominoes, too. We had dominoes, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that's the way the people passed the time. They didn't have no place special to go that time.
Uh-huh.
No,
just
maybe
kind of
went
busy
to San Antonio once a year or so, or for a Ring Brothers show or something like that.
But the neighbors visited a lot with
each
other.
Oh, yeah, everybody. Miss Alice Seuss, that was Charlie Seuss' first wife, they lived up there, were even very lived, and they come down all the time. And of course, Charlie and Deese was younger than I was, but she always come down to visit my mother and brought them.
Oh, that's where Charlie Seuss lived before they moved?
When he first got married, he lived there, before he moved down there.
Where Emil Beery lived. Emil Beery's house?
Yeah, well, it was his mother-in-law's house that time.
Oh.
Miss Naglin.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Aunt Josephine, they called her.
Uh-huh.
And she was a sister to Miss Holt's house.
Uh-huh.
And she lived there, and when Charlie Seuss got married, he lived with her. Mm-hmm. And then when he bought that place down there, they moved down there.
Mm-hmm.
And since that, he opened up a filling station there and run that filling station for, I don't know, quite a number of years.
Yeah, Madeline Google interviewed him. We've got a long tape with him, too.
Yeah.
At home you say you played cards and visited. Mm-hmm. Did you have special family get-togethers? Did your family get together with people?
Well, sometimes, but somebody got married or something like that. But otherwise, they never had no barbecues or anything like they got now and invited a bunch of people. Only thing was when they had the 25th August celebration or ball games on the plaza, Houston Square,
uh-huh.
on Sundays, and there all the people went there.
Uh-huh.
They walked down and the third half of the square was covered with people.
Really?
Yeah. Not like now. They really drew a crowd from Rio Medina everywhere.
Of course, there wasn't as much going on then.
Yeah,
that
well,
was the main attraction.
Nothing going on otherwise. No, heck.
Well, these baseball.
Once in a while, a tancho come by here, had a few Shetland ponies and monkeys and stuff, and, people went there. Didn't cost but about 15, 20 cents. That's all that time. And they stayed here maybe a couple of days. And then finally, I don't know what year that was, Miss Harrelson from Hondo. She come over here, moved the picture show. And no tent, just put up a
screen?
Yeah.
Where at?
Anywhere on the square or anywhere there. And the people, I don't know, she charged 10 cents or something.
Well, what would she shine it on?
Oh, no, she had a... It was
oh, she there. Put up a screen.
Yeah.
Oh, and you're just out in the open, you
yeah,
sit?
Yeah, right in the open, yeah.
Well, it mustn't have been run by electricity then.
She had what did you call them, where they made light switch, the first ones that come out
the,
of...
The, not diesel, but...
Well, I can't call the name now, you know what I mean.
I know what you're talking about, it's called a...
Delco plant.
Delco plant, yes.
That's what
Go
she
ahead.
Had, Delco plant.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and she come over here, I don't know, several years.
Uh-huh. Well, these baseball games, when were they usually played? Sunday?
On Sundays, Easter Monday. Oh, big days.
Big
4th
holidays.
Of July. Yeah, but Sunday all the time.
Uh-huh.
Well, they didn't play here every Sunday. They went up Rio Medina and Cliff and Hondo, La Crosse, everywhere.
And these baseball teams were made up of grown men, young men, either married or unmarried.
Yeah, they were young men. Some were married already, real young that time. Like, I remember when Fred Jackie played Jeff, Phil Jackie, and my Uncle Joe Naglin, and Arthur Holt's house, and guys like that. And then it come down later on to younger ones again. But people were really interested in baseball.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they got good crowds there.
Uh-huh.
They just passed the hat around. That's all when the game going on.
You mentioned the 4th of July. Do you ever remember a 4th of July celebration here? How did they celebrate it?
Well, I remember Trackester started this dance hall down here, Electric Park Hall. He had a celebration there once on the 4th of July.
Mm.
In the bottom, barbecue and stuff like that. But before that, the only celebration that I really know of was 25th August.
Uh-huh.
Was that
the biggest day in Castro
time? Yeah, and they used to have them there where the Dr. Birch's is now, in that
St. Louis.
Yeah. And down at Bediger's where Lloyd Thunders got that bottle.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah, I was down there.
When they had them down
there? Your daddy's mother and the kids went down with a buggy and a horse. That's the only way they could go down to people. They didn't have no course.
Well, see, we have some newspaper accounts where it was held at Bediger's Grove in the 1890s already. Mm-hmm. But see, that was before you were born. But they still held them there after the 1900s then.
Your daddy could have been about, I'd say, 6-7 years old when they had it down there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what did they do when they had it down there?
Well, they had barbecue, beer, that's all, and foot races and stuff like that, and played a little ball. That's all they charged they had. Eh?
Well,
that pecan bottom down there.
Yeah. Did they ever have a dance then, too?
Yeah, they had a little platform.
Oh, they had a platform.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's right. But that was after they quit here, I believe. They used to have them here. Of course, that was just the people around here. That was no strangers here at that time. Uh-huh. All local people.
That came to the St. Louis.
Not like now. People come from everywhere.
Okay. In those days, did they charge for the food?
They charged, but it wasn't much that time. Everything was cheap. And
something like 25 cents? Do you remember any amount?
50 cents, I believe. I don't know. And the beer, it was all cake beer at that time.
Uh-huh.
All cake beer.
Well, they used keg beer for a long time, even at Wernitz Garden.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when they changed over to bottles.
Yeah.
It was a big fight because they used to have it in
the when they first started here, when beer come out, they had cake beer.
Yeah, and somebody said they used these glass with the stems, and all they did was dip them in a tub of water, and that water was so full of beer after a while. You know, they just off your glass a little bit.
Well, now, with glasses, you couldn't serve them no more. Too many people.
Oh, yeah.
No, you never could.
They used paper cups.
See, they had one guy that just filled the glasses, set them down, filled them, and then the other sold them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it went. And I know when they first started cake beer, they had it on a sawhorse, and they drove a wooden faucet in there, and that's all they had. Set it out with a wooden faucet. And we should have kept one of them, but
they laid the keg down
back,
and stuck that thing in on the side.
And that was tapered. That wooden faucet was tapered.
Yes.
And they drove it in, but it wouldn't have it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. In other words, there was no pump on
it. No pump on it that time. Yeah. No pressure.
And they put the beer into wooden kegs? Is that how it was?
Yeah, it came in wooden kegs that time.
From the breweries in San Antonio?
From the brewery. And they hauled a couple of wagon loads out here, and they had some kind of a hay, the brewers furnished that they put at the bottom, and then they put the beer cakes in and ice on top and covered it up with a tarp and hay.
Uh-huh.
They had some kind of a prairie hay. I've seen it yet, but I don't know
where. And that served as an insulation.
That's to keep the ice from melting.
Yeah.
And then they just hauled the wagons down there.
Well, as a kid, what did you do at St. Louis Day when you were a kid?
I remember we didn't work anything as kids. We just running around and playing.
Having
fun, that's all, yeah. The older people done it. Some tended barn, some fixed the barbecue, and it was all local people that time.
Yeah.
No strangers from San Antonio. Maybe once in a while, one come out here and spent here a night or two, and maybe he made it, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, what did the women, did they make the food down at the park where it was going to be held?
Well, I believe they took it along. What was to take along? Of course, it wasn't many people that time like now. Now they couldn't arrange it that way. But I believe my mother fixed potato salad and took it along, and I guess the rest of the women brought cabbage and stuff.
And they just put it all on the tables and everybody would eat.
Yeah, they could eat. Family style.
Family style.
Yeah.
Do you remember if they played any kind of games?
Well,
or was it that just later?
They played a little ball, I know that, and foot races and stuff like that, but otherwise I can't even remember no more that they had any kind of other entertainment like penny pitch or something like that.
They didn't have that. Well, they started out then with Keno.
Yeah.
And I guess that would have been in the 20s, huh?
Yeah.
They pasted those cards.
Yeah.
Nine cards on a card. And
yeah.
Every year they kept those.
That was later on.
Yeah, that was the forerunner of bingo.
Right.
And then also another thing somebody told me, I think Martha Reen told me, is that the young ladies and the women always embroidered for St. Louis Day.
Yeah.
Scarves, pillowcases, and they sold this stuff.
And they had what they called a grab bag. That's what they had. I remember that down here. And when they had it down here at
Wernick's Garden.
Yeah, Wernick's Garden, yeah. That was later. And, well, when we went down there to Beatty's Grove, I was just a young boy, about 5, 6 years old, seven maybe. And then it come back up here, they had it at Wernick's Garden then. And one time they had it, 25th of celebration at Dreckes's Park.
Uh-huh,
we had it there one year.
1 year.
1 year.
Somebody said that these men would always kind of vie for it. I mean, want to have it at their place.
Yeah, that's right.
And it caused a little trouble, didn't it? I mean, a little arguing.
Yeah, and I don't know. That just 1 year they went back to Kitty.
Someone said they had trouble there.
Yeah.
I don't remember what kind of trouble, but then the next year they voted back.
Yeah.
Voted it back.
I know. I know this, they dug a new barbecue pit at Trekkers Park in the ground.
Oh.
And I don't know who dug it no more. They had a bunch of Latins, I guess, to dig that. And just 1 year, the next year they covered it up again, moved back again. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well,
some kind of friction, something, I don't know.
Say, as a young person, when you thought of St. Louis Day, what did you look forward to it for? Why did you look forward to it?
Well, we done a little everything, but when it got up here, when I got older to Wernick's Garden St. Louis celebration, it was a lot bigger than when they used to have it down at Beatty's Grove. And then they had a few games like you were saying a while ago with the horse.
What about a raffle?
Raffle, and then they had a grab bag, and I think one time they sold some chances on something, too. I forgot, though, what that was. Pretty young, but I know they had a grab bag. You get a nickel, and you could throw down in a...
Oh, and pull out a prize.
Prize, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever you pulled out, whether you got, different items in there.
Well, did they have that for kids, too, didn't they? Like, it was a fish pond. Didn't they always have that
sometimes? No,
that wasn't
I never
early?
Seen a fish pond that time. That come in later on, later years, yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, and like bingo, that they didn't have, no. But the people mostly come together to talk to each other
just
and enjoy themselves, see?
Yeah.
And,
okay, and then how about at night?
Well, at night they had dances. Oh, yeah. They had dances. But then at one time, I don't know why they quit Wernick's Garden. And then the Mexicans used to have that place.
On 25th of August?
No, not 25th of August. During the year. They had dances there. And two dance halls burned down there. I remember yet when the first one burned down, and then they rebuilt it again, and I don't know how many years later, it burned up again.
Somebody said Johnny R. owned it one time when it burned, but it didn't have a roof on it then. And Ed Lehman had it, too.
It had a roof on it both times when
it
burned.
Both times?
Oh, yeah. But Johnny R.